1 John chapter 4. Last week we started a message on the subject matter, God is love. And I believe that God is the essence and the epitome of love. He is the truest expression of genuine love. And last week we looked at the objects of God's love. And we looked first of all at the love that exists harmoniously in the Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and how these three are one, and they're one in their purpose of demonstrating and communicating that love to all those that are in Christ. And we want to, just for frame of reference, let's read those a couple of verses there in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. Beloved. Now again, remember last week we looked at that word, that term of endearment that sets apart God's elect. That's who they are. They're called the beloved because they've been loved with an everlasting love by God the Father. That love was demonstrated on the part of Christ when He died for their sins on the cross and then was buried and rose again. And that love is communicated to them by the power of the Holy Spirit in the new birth, where He sheds abroad the love of God in their heart. So, beloved, that's a key word as you study throughout the book of 1 John and other parts of the Bible, because it's a distinguishing term that relates to those whom God loves. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now you'll see right away that if you are loved of God, you are going to be born of God. We're not talking about your physical birth. We're talking about the new birth. And it's going to be such a radical change that you who were at one time following the dictates of the devil and the world and sin, you're going to be changed so radically that you're now going to want to follow Jesus Christ and love Him and serve Him. And you'll even love the people that belong to Him, that your brothers and sisters in Christ. There's a lot in that one verse. If you've been born of God, you're going to love those who have also been born again, born of God. Verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So it tells us that there are people that don't know God, who don't love God. Okay? Now, look over at 1 John chapter 3. Where he says, and I love this, these are words that you ought to pay attention to when you're reading the Bible. Wherever you see the word behold, it's really providing you with a proclamation, an exclamation, something you better pay special attention to. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Who's he talking about? The children, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, there's that term again. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. The beloved, they're partakers of this magnificent, amazing, powerful love. So much so that John says, behold, what manner of love? What kind of love is it? It's a love that is as eternal as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are. It's an eternal love. I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And you see this throughout the Scripture. The objects of God's love are those who he chose and loved before time ever existed. I mean, it's set forth in the Bible. And that's why I believe it. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and beloved according to the good pleasure of his will, to the having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. This love extends before you were ever born. Before this world, the earth was ever conceived, God had a love for his people. Paul makes a similar statement in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, where he says, but we are bound to give thanks alway to God for you, brethren, beloved. There's that word again. Brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this everlasting love, this elective love, is going to result in you being sanctified, set apart by the Spirit, given ears to hear the truth of the gospel, whereby you are drawn powerfully out of a life of sin into one of fellowship with God, and you experience the glory of Christ's salvation. This is what happens to the objects of God's love. The result of that eternal love results in a radical change in their life. And we're going to go more in depth, not next week, but the week after on that subject. But I do want you to see one more passage, and it relates to Jesus praying for us, for those that the Father had given him. Again, read John 17. Note how many times Jesus talks about those whom thou hast given me. The Father gave him to the Son before the world began to redeem. And here's what Jesus says in chapter 17 and verse 2, "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Now notice, verse 23, that gives you a reference who he's praying for here. Well, let's just read verse 9. "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine." Verse 23, "I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." Now in the next verse, he's going to tell you how the Father loved him. Verse 24, "Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory." Doesn't that sound almost... 2 Thessalonians 2:13 could serve as a commentary on that verse. The revelation of the glory of Christ as a result of God's eternal elective purpose. "Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." God is love. And he loved the people before the world began and purposed to save them and change them and bring them out of darkness into his marvelous light, out of death into life eternal. I want you to see, because this is important to understand, because God is light. Remember, we read that reference that last week. John says God is love, but before he said that in chapter 1, he said, "God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all," referencing the holiness, the absolute righteousness of God. Because God is light, because he is holy, it is impossible for him to love those who are not born of him, who do not share his nature, and who are capable of reciprocating or giving back in response to his love through that fellowship that's been stimulated by spiritual knowledge. If you're yet in your sins, there's a huge contrast. See, if you're an unbeliever today, I urge you, say, "Well, how do I know if I'm one of the elect?" Don't worry about that. Your responsibility is to obey the admonitions in Scripture, to repent and believe the gospel. Recognize that you're a sinner, broken, undone, corrupt, unable to do anything that could merit God's favor or his salvation. You're a sinner. Come to an end of yourself. Don't trust in religion or in a church or in a priest or a preacher. Trust in Jesus Christ. Believe on him. Believe that he died on the cross for your sins personally. That He was buried. That He literally rose from the dead and that He's alive forevermore. That is the gospel message of hope that's changed millions upon millions of people in every age. Old Testament, New Testament, Jesus Christ, the message of Christ crucified and risen again has changed sinners all around the world at all times, in every dispensation. The message is the same. Flee from the wrath to come by trusting in Jesus Christ. If you've been listening to me preach for years and years, you know I'm a gospel preacher. You know that I continually put before you that there is only one way of salvation, only one way to be assured that you are everlastingly loved by the Almighty, and that is to turn from yourself, your sin, your religiosity to Jesus Christ alone. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe that with all my heart. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Right now, the moment that you turn and believe and embrace the power of Jesus Christ as revealed in the gospel, you then become a partaker, at least by way of your experience, of the love of God. You'll never be the same. You'll have peace and joy and love shed abroad in your heart. But you know, there's another side to not believing. You say, what does it mean to believe on Christ? To experience this love? It means you take God at His word. John, later on in 1 John 3, it talks about the record that God gave of His Son. What is the record? Well, the entire New Testament, really the whole Bible, points to the fact that God sent His only begotten Son into the world to save sinners. That it's only through His work. It's not through the Pope. It's not through Muhammad. It's not through Confucius. It's not through transcendental meditation or New Age ideology or philosophy. No, there's only one way. And Jesus made it clear. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There is no other way. Now, if you're rebellious and you remain in your sins, you're going to have your sins with you throughout all eternity. It means that those sins were not put away. They weren't judged by Christ on the cross. If you bear them, you'll bear them throughout all eternity in the lake of fire. And that's reality. There's so many preachers in our day and age that emphasize, and rightly so, God is love. God sent His Son in the greatest demonstration of love ever known to man. But don't flatter yourself. You're not some special case. If you don't repent and believe the gospel, you're going to die in your sins and spend an eternity in the lake of fire. You are not a special exception. Because the Bible makes it clear in John 3 and verse 18. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Let's get right down to it. You remain in your unbelief, it's because you love your sin. You love where you're at rather than saying, I'm not good enough, I need Christ, I'm fleeing from the wrath to come, to trust in Him. And so I urge you today, give it up. Whatever it is you're holding on to, give it up. It's not worth it. Cast yourself entirely upon the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ. Because He promised in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. You want to remain in your sin? The Bible says in John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. The very moment you believe, right then, right there, you don't have to come forward. You don't and pray through, or you don't have to shake the preacher's hand. You don't have to sign a comment card. You can believe on the Lord right where you're at, and you have everlasting life. But notice what it says: and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. See, the preachers today that emphasize entirely God is love never warn people of the damning wrath of God. You keep on in your sin and your rebellion, your refusal to repent and believe the gospel, you're going to be damned. You're going to be condemned. And let me add one more thing, and this is going to really hurt you. You deserve it. You're not good enough to get to heaven. You don't have what it takes. So, well, you don't know me. I don't have to know you. I know what the Bible says. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. They're all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There is none good, no, not one. Well, I'm good. Well, according to your standard, but not according to God's standard. God's standard is perfection. And I know you're not so self-righteous as to say, I'm practically perfect in every way, because you're not. You're a sinner just like I am. And you need a Savior just like I did. See, a lot of preachers, they're scared to death to talk to people, just simple and plain. You don't trust the Lord, there are consequences. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, I've always believed God has an everlasting love for His people. I don't know who all that is. I have no idea. That's why I preach the gospel to everybody. Because I don't know whether somebody's going to be saved or not. My marching orders are set forth, preach the gospel to every creature. Be a witness wherever you are. Now go over to 1 John chapter 3, and I want to show you a contrast between the beloved and those who are yet in their sins and remain that way. 1 John chapter 3, remember how it started off? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. He goes on down and he's going to give you quite a contrast between those who have been born again by the power of the Holy Spirit and those who don't believe. It says in verse 9, 1 John 3, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now don't let that confuse you. I'm a sinner, still. But because I'm born of God, I have a new nature that allows me to communicate with God, fellowship with God, walk in the light as He is in the light. That new nature does not sin. But I still have an old Adamic nature. Okay, so when you're born of God, you're so radically changed. Now you don't want to sin. Now you hate it. When you do it, you get convicted by the Holy Spirit because you're in fellowship with God. But notice verse 10. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. You know what he's saying? If you remain in your sins and you don't believe, you're in the camp of Cain. Cain believed in work salvation. And he was an unrighteous man who died in his sins. But because God is light, it's impossible for him to love those who are in darkness. They have to be brought out of that in order for them to stand before him. They have to be brought out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's why the new birth is so vital, so important. Look at 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Boy, that's dangerous ground. When you, by your unbelief, make God out to be a liar, that his record really isn't authentic or true. By the way, that's the majority of our world, how they view Christ and the gospel. Verse 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So, a common misnomer needs to be corrected. I've heard people say, God loves everybody. He didn't love Cain, because he damned him for all eternity. Look what the Bible says. Does God, love every single person Well, the Bible makes it clear in several passages, but we'll look at a sampling of them. And I know this is a pretty sobering thing, and many preachers they would never say this out loud. But it's one of those things where I got to believe what the Bible says. No matter what an overwhelming majority of preachers or religions may say, I'm just going to show you what the Bible says here. Look now, Psalm 5, verse 4. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Pretty clear. Look at Nahum. I remember when I was first saved, my preacher was referencing something out of the book of Nahum, and I said, "Oh, there ain't no book of Nahum." We were talking personally. I said, "There ain't nothing in the Bible. There ain't no book called Nahum." And then he turned over to it, and I had to repent. Nahum chapter 1. That's one of the problems of being a heathen before you're saved. You don't know nothing at all. Nahum chapter 1 and verse 2. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. Now look what it says here. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. God's going to execute his wrath upon all unbelievers. Turn with me to John chapter 8. Now, these are going to be the words of Jesus Christ himself. John chapter 8 and verse 21. Then said Jesus again to them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. How did he know that? Well, he's God manifest in the flesh. He knows everything. Whither I go, ye cannot come. You're not going to go to glory with me. You're not going to see the glory of God in heaven. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now he is an idiomatic word, so it could be expressed, for if ye believe not that I am. The I Am, as revealed in Exodus, God Almighty, the way of salvation. And the word He is included there because it gives more sense. You don't believe that I am He, the one whom God has sent? You're going to die in your sins. Look at verse 42, verse 38, same chapter. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. What's he talking about? My Father is God in heaven. Your Father is Satan, the devil. That's pretty rough, isn't it? This is the one who is The same one that said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." See, nobody preaches this side of Jesus Christ. Look what it says. Look what he says in verse 42. He says, "Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me." That's the essence right there. If you're born of God, you're born again, God is your Father, and you love the Lord Jesus Christ. You won't deny Him. You won't remain in your sins. You will embrace Him, love Him, follow Him, serve Him. But they're manifesting that they're not of God. If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but He sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. He that speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." Which camp are you in? Look at verse 47. "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye hear them, therefore hear them not, because you are not of God." Dear sinner, will you hear God's words? That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, if you read Romans chapter 9, it states very clearly, "Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." And then he gives you a whole catalog of reasons justifying his sovereignty in Romans chapter 9. Are you beloved of God? If so, it means that you've come to know Christ. And all these promises of eternal life are yours. See, I have no problem whatsoever preaching the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man in the very same message. Because Jesus did it. And you know, Jesus was pretty pointed in his language. He was not diplomatic. He was not politically correct. He basically said, either if you don't believe, you're going to spend eternity in a lake of fire, which is what you deserve. You know what I wish and hope and pray for all of you? That you truly just said, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Lord, I believe. I trust you. And I want to serve you all the days of my life." Let's all stand. Thank you.